This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We are live from Edgar's Cantina at T-Mobile Park. It is Wyman and Bob. If you guys are coming out to the game tonight, come on by, say hello. We'll be hanging out here until 5:30. Dave Wyman will be helping assist the staff here, wiping down the tables and railing. You're doing a great job, Dave. Doing great
work.
Did
I do a good job? All right. There we go.
You've earned yourself a drink.
Well trained.
That's great. But yes, we're out here. Watch a little batting practice. We'll be out here again until 5:30 when we turn you over to the pregame show. We'll continue evaluating. We've been going position by position, player by player, talking about whether they overachieved, underachieved, and then I threw in the third category of just achieved.
Achieved. I like that. Yeah. I think we're probably going to have a few.
Before we get there, just a reminder, we will have Mean Text coming up. We're going to have Jesse Winker with us at 5 o'clock. He'll come down and join us in person here in the cantina. And then we'll have Mean Text after that. But we need more submissions. Thumb said they're not very good so far.
I didn't say that. Wow. Yeah. They're turning the crowd against me. I said there aren't very many.
He said, I'm not impressed with their work. They've been very lame.
And now they'll come in and make fun of me. That's smart. There you go.
I like that Bob threw him under the table.
Right under the table.
Oh, apparently I said I had another Jake-ism yesterday morning. I forgot what it was now. But
Was it something to lean your hat on?
Yeah, it was close to under the table, and now I've compiled a big registry of
malaprops there. Yeah.
Malaprops, yeah.
But you guys can text in your mean text, 421-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company.
There's not enough.
That will come up. And I reached out to our buddy Adam Ray. I think he's on set, but maybe he'll enter into the fray as well.
He's busy taping some like docuseries or whatever he's doing. I think he's doing like a Watergate thing now.
It's a movie. I think that's the one with Sean Penn, I think. He's doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, and yet he takes
I never know what he's doing.
And he's like kicking butt is what he's doing. And
he
carves out time to give us mean texts and whatnot.
Guy's going to be a star. But, so we'll unveil your mean text coming up in the 5 o'clock hour after our conversation with Jesse Winker. But we went through the infield. We went through the outfield earlier in the show, talking about each player, who's overachieved, underachieved, and just achieved. Now we start with the starting pitching, Dave. And let's begin with Robbie Ray. We're all very excited. I still love the signing. That was a big move by the Mariners to bring in the reigning Cy Young Award winner. And he's, I would say, he's underachieved. He went into his last start with a 4.73 ERA, is now 4.75. It is just a shade over 5.55 for the month of May. He has been striking out a lot of guys. He just hasn't been that. You look at it, I think his last game, 6 innings, 3 runs, that's a quality start. That's the definition.
Right.
6 innings and 3 runs or less is a quality start. I think you need more than that from your ace, from your number one. The highest paid player on your roster is making about $21 million a year, I think, is what it averages out to. And with him, we keep hearing about the one bad inning. Oh, man, he was lights out, except for that one bad inning. I'm like, that's true, but that one bad inning is often costing you. That one bad inning is often the difference between winning and losing that game. And in 5 of his 10 starts, he's given up at least 3 runs. I expect more from the Cy Young. I don't expect him to throw a shutout every time, but more than what you've been given so far at this point. So I'm going to say he's underachieved.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that. I was going to say achieved just because I feel like, you know, once you hang that mantle on him, then it's awfully tough to, you know, to please anyone because he's the Cy Young winner and also the money and everything. But yeah, you did. He is your highest paid player and he is the Cy Young Award winner. And there has been some times where, and I remember in the beginning, he had the rain out game that didn't get rained out.
Yeah, in Chicago.
You know, and that looked a little bit rough, but you thought, he's had some moments, like you said, innings here and there.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's, how about a sub-4 ERA? That's not asking a ton from your ace, your number one starter. That's an underachievement right there. Logan Gilbert, your AL pitcher of the month in the month of April. Now, May's been a little rougher for him, but he's still got an ERA of 2. Now, if this were the ERA for Robbie Ray, I'd be going, hey, overachieved or achieved, 2.60. For a young guy who didn't have any experience before last season, hit the wall last season, we've talked about it a million times, had a terrible August, and then when it mattered most in September, he came to life and had his best month of the season. That carried over. He's 17th in all of Major League Baseball with that ERA. He's given up 15 earned runs, 5 home runs, 55 strikeouts to 18 walks. For where he's at in his career, I'm going to go overachieved.
Yeah, I think he is too. Overachieved. I mean, that incredible. What month was it that he was it April?
April with a 9.3 or a 9.5. It was over 9, his ERA for the month. Or August. I'm thinking of last year. Sorry, August of last year.
And he had a rough August last year.
Terrible. And then September, it was under it was sub 3 ERA.
Yeah, both him and Kelnick did that. You know, one of the things that we mentioned earlier when we were talking about Ty France was the foul ball that wasn't caught by Ty, and Logan Gilbert didn't shake him anything, goes right back up next pitch and strikes out the batter. So, yeah, he's just been oddly like mature, like for a guy in his second year. He seems like he really is like a guy that's been in the league for dozens of years.
Yeah, he's giving you a chance to win every time out. He's going out, even when he doesn't have his great stuff, he's still keeping you in the game and giving the team an opportunity to win. So I'd say overachieved. Now, Marco's an interesting one because you look at him, he's had 9 starts, his ERA is at 3.74, 27 strikeouts. He's not a strikeout guy. Here's the troubling stat, 18 walks.
Yeah.
That's not typical for him. That's way too many walks for him. 49 hits, 18 earned runs, 9 of them home runs. So I'm going to say he's underachieved a bit from what you expect from him. Those are the 18 walks. That's just, he got to bring that down. That's just not part of his game, and he's said as much.
Well, and it's interesting because Logan Gilbert has 18 walks, but you know he can do that. But with Marco, if he's off or has an off night, I'm going to say he's achieved. I think he's about where. I guess I don't expect as much from Marco as everybody else. I feel like if they get on him, then it can fall apart for him fairly quickly. But if he's on, he's on, man.
Now this guy's interesting because he was my concern coming into the season. He was concern more of a question, like is he going to be able to duplicate what he did last year? Because he came out of nowhere. We've talked about him a million times. He ended up being the most consistent pitcher in this rotation last year. Had the best season, most consistent. Came out of the Korean Baseball League. Didn't know anything about Chris Flexen other than he lost a bunch of weight. Mm-hmm. And what do you expect from him? Hopefully he can eat innings. And he was just a gem last year. But he pitches to contact. He doesn't have overpowering stuff. So you wondered, would he be able to duplicate what he did last year? Now, his first 7 starts, he got no help at all. Through 7 starts, he had 5 runs of support. So he got nothing from his offense. Then in his last start, he finally gets 5 runs of support in one game, and then he blows up. So you look at the season in totality, he's got an ERA just around 5, 4.98. He's given up 47 hits, 24 earned runs, 9 home runs. I'm going to say he's underachieved just a bit. He's a back-of-the-rotation guy. He's not your ace. He's not a shutdown guy, so you have to keep the expectations in check with him. But I would say he's underachieved a bit from where I would hope he would be. I'd hope he could be around a 4.2 ERA somewhere in that area. Around 4 would be great. But he's up around 5 right now.
Yeah, but if he got run support, and I'm going to say he achieved, because 2 runs or less in 6 of his 8 starts,
yeah,
it's ridiculous. So I feel like if he'd gotten run support in those, we'd feel a lot better about him, even with the same numbers. But yeah, so I and Chris Flexen, yeah, going into this year, I was like, if he falls off the face of the earth, that wouldn't surprise me, just because we didn't know that much about him, and he's been pretty good. But I think he needs some support, some run support, and that's been the story all year. It's been like when the pitching's good, the hitting's not, and when the hitting's good, the pitching's not.
Last guy in the, as far as the starters go, George Kirby. What do you think? I mean, he's a young guy. It's the first exposure to big league pitching or big league hitting. 4 starts. He's pitched 20 innings. He's got an ERA of 4.5, 20 strikeouts, so just 2 walks. So his command has been very good. He's been touched up a bit. It's kind of what you'd expect with a young pitcher out there. I would say he's achieved. I don't think he's. I don't think you know what to expect. It's hard to say. Well, he's underachieved because he should be out there, right. You know, shutting these guys down. No, you don't expect that out of a guy who's making his major league debut. He's got four total starts in his career, so he certainly hasn't underachieved to me. I don't know if he's overachieved. I'm going to say he's achieved.
I'm going to say he's overachieved, and you know how I feel about rookies, young guys, because I just think anything out of them is a plus.
Is that every sport for you?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, and especially, I mean, you look at, I think maybe the hardest jump is making college football to pro football because you have to do it in 1 year.
Yeah.
And for, you know, in baseball, it takes sometimes 2, 3, 4 years, but... Yeah, I mean, I think hitting and pitching are the two biggest adjustments probably individually that you have to make. And the fact that he has 20 strikeouts and just 2 walks in 4 starts, that's very impressive to me. I'm going to say he overachieved.
All right, now let's get into the bullpen. How about this? Paul Sewald gave up a run in the 9th on Wednesday. That was his 4th appearance in the last 5 games. I would say he's... continuing to overachieve for a guy who was a bit of a cast-off by the New York Mets, and we didn't know anything about him last year. He was one of the part of the trifecta of call-ups. With he got called up the same time as Jared Kelnick and Logan Gilbert, and then we're like, "Who's this Paul Sewald guy?" We had a chance to speak with him. Great personality, turns into an absolute just a rock out there, just somebody you could count on. And so far this season, he's duplicating that. He's lived up to his billing from last season. So I would say he's overachieved.
Yeah, I totally agree. Paul Sewald, the most. And what did Kruger say about how they need to put him back in a different spot? I can't remember who.
He was talking about if Giles was there, then you move the chair down and Sewald is your clutch, high leverage situation guy, which he is right now.
Yeah, overachieved, absolutely. And especially the fact that he came in as a 30-year-old and took him a long time to get here, and all of a sudden, you know, he just it's not like he's overwhelming anyone with his fastball or anything like that. It's just that he's just a really good location pitcher. Love Paul Sewald, overachieved.
Well, I think we know the answer to this one, but Mr. Castillo, now as of late, certainly been much better. In 4 of his last 5 appearances, he hasn't allowed any runs. Problem is, he allowed 11 runs in 5 1/3 innings in the month of May, which is horrific, which is terrible. And despite what he's done lately, which I appreciate, and I told you, Dave, I tipped the cap to him,
yeah.
I still get very, very uneasy when he's in the game and it's a moment of consequence. I just don't have the faith in him.
You think we're more likely to see him blow up at some point than to have the performance that he had against the Mets?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of feel that way as well. But, you know, I always figure, you know, what does Service see in him? He sees something that's special. And that was something that helped you. That was probably maybe one of the most pivotal points of this. Well, I don't know about pivotal because it's not necessarily going one way or another because of that. But as far as just intense moments, that bottom of the 9th against the Mets where he threw the sliders in the shadows, mm-hmm. and got Pete Alonso to not check his swing, that was pretty big time right there. And then that to me is going to go down as one of the moments this year, no matter what happens the rest of the year. That was phenomenal. So I guess in that moment you saw what Scott Service sees.
Problem is those moments haven't happened enough.
He doesn't notice all the little things that you notice where he's tugging on his uniform and looking very uncomfortable.
Oh, I'm certain he notices every bit of what's going on up there with those little mannerisms he's got going on. But what did you give him? Achieved? Underachieved?
I'm saying he achieved.
Really?
Yeah.
He gave up 11 runs in 5 1/3 innings, Dave.
Yeah, but
11.
That strikeout against the Mets was so money. It's about moments, Bob.
That moment weighs more than all these other games combined.
Why does Scott Service like him so much?
I don't know if he likes him or just says, I don't have other options. This is who I have to go to based on who's been used the night before, how much these guys have pitched. What do I have at my disposal as Scott Service? I feel like he's trying to figure out a way to get the guy right, make him a positive coming out of the bullpen, giving him opportunities. I don't know that he has a lot of options when he brings him in.
I'll bet you that he has another couple of moments like that one in New York before the season's open.
Thumb, what would you call Castillo?
Well, it's funny because, yeah, that's what Kruger was saying, that strikeout might have saved his job, right? So he can ride that Mets strikeout for the rest of the season. But, yeah, I think you have to say he's underachieved at this point, but there are no other options. And that's the nature of the issue we're in here. No one in the bullpen has really achieved or overachieved this year.
Something smells great out here. He's a big underachiever for me. Steckenrider, I think we all know he underachieved so much so he was sent down, which is very disappointing because we talked about who he was last year, and he was great, part of Sadler, Seawald, the Steckenrider. S's. And he just wasn't that guy this year for whatever reason. So Andrés Muñoz is an interesting one. Now, I know you got really hyped up on him because of Son of Augustafson gave you this rave review of who he is. And he does have an electric arm, obviously. The guy's hitting triple digits. Everybody was stunned by the stat that we heard, though, that the league is hitting .579 with a .947 slug off of his fastball, which you're looking at going, but he's hitting triple digits. Mm-hmm. He's going 101, 102. How they are killing it. That speaks to his location, that he's laying it over the plate, and these guys will time you up if you don't have your location. You look at his slider, though. The league's hitting 158 off his slider. Problem is he's throwing a lot of fastballs. He's getting hit. So I'm going to say, based on what he has at his disposal in the way of tools and expectations, he's underachieved a bit.
Yeah, he has, totally. And he was hyped up. A lot. But, you know, it's kind of funny how you fall in love with that, the triple digit number, and how that is, you know, so meaningful. Who's the kid with the Hunter Green, I think, who's with the Reds, that also is, you know, triple digit guy? But it's
you
no.
Get that kid out of, what, Tennessee, who's throwing 105 or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. It doesn't matter, right, if you don't have the pitches to go along with it. You know, if you don't have a slider, you don't have a curveball or a changeup or whatever. It doesn't matter because the league will catch up with you no matter what. And that's a phenomenal stat. And if you'd have showed him that before the season, started, I think Andres would have said
the average against his fastball.
I'm going to go down to the AAA and work on my other pitches for a while.
Yeah, or I'm going to really lean on the slider, I guess. But yeah, it is. It's weird to think he can throw the ball as hard as he does and that they're just teeing off on him.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So, all right, there you go. There's the achieved, overachieved, or underachieved as far as it pertains to this Mariners team at this point. Now, Ken Rosenthal wrote an article for the Athletic talking about the Mariners season to this point and some of the big takeaways out of that. Now, we talked about this yesterday, that they have allowed more home runs than any team in baseball, collectively, talking about the starters, relievers, 61 home runs. That's bad, Dave, in case you were wondering. That's bad. You look at who they were on April 26th. They were tied for third in runs per game, fifth in team ERA. Since then, 26th in runs per game and 28th in team ERA. That's from April 26th until now.
It's been really, really bad. The one thing I saw, though, is a stat about – you know, where they were last year and where they were with their run differential. I don't know if I sent it to you guys, but in 2021, the Mariners up until May 23rd were 21-26. Mm-hmm. And then they were, 21-26 after. But they were minus 52 in run differential on May 23rd. And the rest of the way, they went plus one.
Yeah.
Because remember,
they were minus 51.
Yeah. So, and also, we're going to have a guy out here in Jesse Winker that I'm convinced that he is going to turn it around. Because if you look at what he has done, including his all-star season last year, Jesse Winker, it's going to turn around. So I'm not saying, I mean, they got pretty lucky. A lot of the one-run wins last year and, you know, some good fortune. They had some clutch hitting, things like that. I feel like that is going to start to come around. Just, I feel like we've heard too many stories of bad luck and, you know, guys like Winker who have an average that they're not living up to.
Yeah.
I refuse to believe that Jesse Winker is going to end the season, you know, just over 200.
Yeah, well, just one more from his article basically summed it up, and he's not the only one to say this, but just talked about the extreme luck that went their way last season in 2021, and Fangraphs determined they were the best-performing team in high-leverage situations since they started tracking that back in 1974. So, I mean, we talked about it, and that was their bullpen. That was the timely hits from guys who struggled the majority of the year, yet they had a knack for coming up with a big hit that would win a game, and then they'd go a bunch of games and do nothing, and then when the game was on the line and they came up, Dylan Moore hits a grand slam or whatever happens. So it just it seemed like everything bounced their way at the right time last year. So he's not the only one to say that that they were extremely lucky last year, and the idea they were going to be able to duplicate that this year, not realistic. And then said the you know, natural regression took place, injuries to key players, relying too much on the youth. M's position players are the second youngest in Major League Baseball. So did we overestimate what they were going to do based on the excitement of last year?
Well, I mean, you're counting on the youth.
The Utes,
yeah.
So Dave Sims likes to say.
Yeah. He even referenced my cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just think maybe that was foolish to go into the season thinking that, you know, we need a lot from our young guys, including a guy like Logan Gilbert, who you are getting that from, but not from Jared Kelnick. You know, Julio had a rough start. Cal Raleigh behind the plate.
Matt Brash.
Or at the plate, I should say. Brash, yeah. So, and now we've got Kirby. We'll see what happens with him. But, yeah, there's lots of tonight. You know, it's funny. I heard on MLB Network this morning, and I can't remember who it was. I think it was Ron Darling who said he named Winker as the guy that absolutely has to step it up. But I think
That was my guy.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly, and that's why I noticed that. And then, but you know, Ryan Roland Smith was kind of saying what I was saying, and that's that it's the young guys. These guys are the ones that have to step it up. But you know, that's the way you went, and so that's the way it's going to be. Those are the guys that have to perform. So I know it's tough putting it on the rookies, but you know, especially Jared Kelnick. I mean, he's got to work things out, figure things out at the AAA level, and get back up here because you know, Dylan Moore's been playing right field, and you don't have Mitch Haniger.
All right, coming up, will the third time be the charm for the Mariners facing Justin Verlander? Plus, an update on why Jesse Winker is not in the lineup tonight. We'll get into all of that coming up. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
We continue live from Edgar's Cantina at T-Mobile Park. It is Wyman and Bob. We're going to take you up to the pregame show beginning at 5:30 here. At 5 o'clock, Jesse Winker will stroll out here, say hello to us. We were just speaking with John Stanton. Love talking to him. He always comes out, pays us a visit when we're out here. Perfect day for baseball. Kind of a weird schizophrenic day, as I said, weather-wise. When Bill Krueger was on with us earlier, if you guys missed that, by the way, it'll be available on the podcast page after the show. But it was really warm. I was starting to sweat. It was hot. He was wearing a jacket. I felt bad for him.
That was because of Bill himself. Yeah, he generated all the heat. was bringing it.
But then it gets cloudy, and then the wind kicks up a little bit, and you're like, oh.
I saw raindrops.
Did you?
Yeah. Lefko and I both were like, whoa. Yeah, so welcome to spring in Seattle. I remember, you know, I always tell the story. June, it rained every day in 1991 in June.
Oh.
Yeah, so this is a very unpredictable time.
Well, I keep looking at my extended forecast.
Do you have the special MLB?
I'm not privy to the high-tech stuff that they got going on. We got some nice days coming up next week. You know, you see some 75s there, some 73s, Dave, and then you see rain. Look at that. You see rain, Dave. Rain in June. It's
Bob is
June.
Showing me his phone, folks.
I want you to see the rain in June,
no,
Dave.
No, I know. It sucks. I'm telling you. Ugh. And, yeah, so that was like 1990 or 91. And, yeah, I thought it was 91. Rained every day in June. So the next year I was like, I got to go. So I went to the desert. I went and got some little condo down there just so I could be down in Scottsdale. Yeah. And I was right by Camelback Mountain. I would run up Camelback Mountain almost every day. You know, you're always out. You know, when you live in the warm, places like that, like Arizona, that year-round or nice temperate weather, you're never in bad shape.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're always, like, out walking
out
at night.
Out doing stuff.
Yeah. And then, yeah, and I got fat, and I was up here, I was really strong, you know, I was going to the gym.
Well, you weren't working on your speed, just weight training.
Yeah, all I was doing was eating and lifting, and then sitting there because it was raining outside, so.
So your cardio was lacking, probably.
Yes, so that can be frustrating here in Seattle. You don't know what to, like you said, you come in here, like, with a sweatshirt on, now all of a sudden, you know, you're getting a sunburn, but they got a roof here, so that's nice.
Yeah, you know the game will happen regardless of what
happens
weather-wise.
Eight Major League Baseball cities that have a roof.
So what is your level of confidence against Justin Verlander tonight?
It's not very good at all, Bob.
Just by way of recap, in case you forgot, April 16th here in Seattle, he faced the Mariners. He went 8 innings. He gave up 3 hits, no runs, no walks, 8 strikeouts. That was not a good night for the Mariners offense.
No, and that's the thing, you know, I mean, at some point he's going to have a bad game. And that's where I'm thinking, you know, if they can do that, if somehow the Mariners can find a way to crack him open, that would be pretty phenomenal. And any kind of success they can have right now, because, I mean, he's 1.22 ERA, he's 6-1, he's got 49 strikeouts.
You have his age on there? Is he 39?
Yeah, he is 39. Can you believe that?
He's and got off a 1.22 ERA coming off Tommy John.
Yeah, off of Tommy. Although, starting to find out that that's almost like an advantage.
Yeah.
Apparently. I mean, maybe it's because he worked so hard or whatever, but yeah, I mean, he's just been unhittable. So if they're able to get to him, that would really be a nice little jump start.
Oh, that'd be huge.
You know, as lucky as they were last year and all these situations we keep talking about, I feel like they've been pretty unlucky, especially with some of the players and the injuries.
Well, they got to him a little bit in Houston. Now, so you had that game in Seattle, which he just dominated.
Right.
You look at the fourth of this month in Houston, he went 6 2/3, gave up 5 hits, 2 runs, just 3 strikeouts, no walks. So it was a much different version of him. And the other side of that is he's going up against Chris Flexen, who we've talked about. I felt like he's kind of underachieved a little bit, ERA just around 5. But he's had a couple of nice performances against the Astros so far this year. On the 16th of April, he went 6 innings, gave up 5 hits, 3 earned runs. That's a quality start. And again, we're talking about an ace, a Hall of Famer in Verlander versus a guy at the back of your rotation in Chris Flexen. So he gave you a quality start against this club, 6 innings, 3 earned runs. Then you go to the third of this month of May, he goes 5 innings against the Astros, just 2 hits and 1 earned run. So third time's a charm, hopefully, for the Mariners offense, and Chris Flexen continues doing what he's done so far against the Astros. Do you buy into that?
Yeah, I mean, not really. I just think it's a great thought.
No.
But, yeah, it's... I mean, they have such a powerful lineup, Houston does, and, you know, it's just, we talked to John Paul Morosi the other day, and he was like, yeah, I do realize that I picked them to finish ahead of Houston and win the division, but then, you know, the thing he kept talking about were the Angels, man.
Well, nobody expected the Angels pitching to be what it's been to this point.
And Trout is back.
Yeah, and Rendon is back, and yeah.
And Ohtani, so yeah, it's going to be rough for the Mariners. You know, but I do feel like there's going to be some kind of turnaround. This would be a perfect night for that, too.
Yeah.
Especially not only against Houston, but against Justin Verlander.
And then one other note, Jesse Winker will be a guest of the program coming up at 5 o'clock. He's not in the lineup tonight. We were wondering why, going, all right, if that were power lefty, okay, I get it. Mm. But you got a right-hander and Justin Verlander going. He's not in the lineup. Apparently he's got a sore right shoulder that's going on. Yet he's still going to come out and talk to us so we can – ask him about that, but back in 2018, he missed the final 73 games due to shoulder subluxation. Is that how you say that?
Mm-hmm.
I
had a shoulder another term for sublux.
Is that a separated shoulder?
Pops out and pops back in.
Okay.
Actually, well, yeah, partially, I understand
it. Is that what they're describing as? Like a partially separated shoulder?
Well, it's like it pops out and then back in. So that's called that's the sublux part of it.
Mine popped out and stayed out. I had to go to the hospital to have it put back in.
Yeah.
That really hurt, Dave.
I'm sure it did.
That hurt a whole bunch. But, yeah, so he missed a bunch of time back in 2018 from that. I don't know if there's any connection here. I mean, you know, right shoulder soreness, right shoulder here, you know, injury back in 2018. I'm not going to worry about it yet. We'll talk to him, see how he's feeling. I would imagine if it was something serious, they wouldn't be bringing him out here to us.
I got
to
say, mine subluxed when I was at Stanford. It was during the preseason, you know, during camp. And I played the entire year, but it would pop out every once in a while.
Did you have some big harness or something under the shirt?
Yeah, I used to wear something. And then that ended up actually getting my physical failed in my trade to the San Francisco 49ers. Because they asked me, like, are you healthy? And I'm like, well, my shoulder pops out all the time.
But it's no big deal. I pop it back in.
Rub some dirt on it. We better take a look at that. Next thing you know, I'm on a plane back to Seattle.
All right. Coming up, the Mariners are in danger of having the wrong type of achievement to celebrate. We're going to hear about all of that when we sweep the dial coming up as we continue live from Edgar's Cantina. It's Wyman and Bob. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and seattlesports.com.
Scanning the airwaves for the most interesting and entertaining stories of the day. Sweeping the dial. Every afternoon at 4:45 with Wyman and Bob.
We could have had some great fun there on the video stream, but Bob's going to save his coat for later. So we'll have time to talk about that. But more importantly, how about this? Bob Nightingale was on with Jake and Stacey a couple days ago. He writes for USA Today, national baseball writer, and said the Mariners are kind of at an inflection point because they have great prospects. But great prospects don't mean anything if they don't pan out.
You know, you get tired of hearing about prospects. You want to see it, you know, translate to major league level. You know, the old joke in baseball is you want to be the cover of Baseball America or having the best prospects, or the cover of Sports Illustrated and having a parade.
That reminds me of Winning Time, where they were standing there and Magic Johnson throws a pass. And he goes, you ever see a pass like that? One of the coaches. And the other one goes, it's not a pass if nobody catches it.
By the way, I've watched the first three now.
Did you?
Thank you. Making progress.
Yeah.
But he's stating the obvious there. Having prospects, that's great. But if they don't pan out, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
exactly. That's great insight, Bob. That's true.
It was just so
any
obvious.
Free agent you sign, if they don't pan out, it doesn't matter. Any prospect that doesn't pan out. It doesn't matter. He's absolutely right. I can't disagree with that theory.
It's kind of funny because I mentioned this a couple times, but on MLB they were talking about some people thought it was the guys like Jesse Winker, and others were like, it's the prospects. This is, and to me, that's what it's about. So, you know, if I'm gonna put it on anyone, it's got to be the young guys. Only because, not necessarily because them individually, but this is the way that this franchise has decided to go. So these guys, go get them, man.
Sweeping the dial.
Well, the Warriors are officially back, and here's how it sounded as they got back to the NBA Finals.
Golden State is going to the finals for the sixth time in the last 8 years. Big night for Klay Thompson with 32. A double-double for Looney. This crowd is back. They're on their feet, and their Warriors are going to the NBA Finals again.
6 times in the last 8 years. First time back since 2019. I'm pulling for him. I was watching the post game last night, the interviews with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, and likable guys. Steve Kerr, love Steve Kerr. I mean, you typically tend to root against the dominant team, whether it's the Yankees or whether it's the Patriots or, you know, teams that just win all the time. The Warriors, for me, are an easy team to root for, maybe because we don't have a basketball team here. So that makes it much easier. But Steph is an incredibly likable guy. Klay Thompson is incredibly likable, as is Draymond Green. And Steph Curry may be the greatest shooter in the history of the league. I mean, I know you talk about Reggie Miller and Ray Allen and people like that, but he is. I've never been more wrong about a player than I was about Steph Curry. I thought he'd be a guy in the NBA. I thought, he had ankle problems even at the college level.
Maybe where did he go to school again?
Was it Davidson?
Davidson.
Yeah.
That's yeah. Bad.
And,
yeah.
And I didn't know if he would be able to be a true point guard at this level. I mean, just couldn't have been further off the mark. He is beyond great.
Klay Thompson's my guy, Washington State guy.
Overcoming a lot.
Man. Yeah. Have you seen the commercial lately where he's talking about
shimmies in the Buffalo Wild? They go,
yeah,
did
the
you
Wild
do shimmy?
Yeah, and there was something about, you know, about him telling the story about how, what did he shoot, 15 threes or something like that in
yeah.
the game? Yeah. Anyway, like Klay Thompson, like I go back to the days of Rick Barry rooting for the Warriors.
Wow, old school Warriors fan.
That just means I'm old.
Sweeping the dial.
Well, I've been trying to get this show on this train, watching more hockey. I think I've done an okay job with that. This is my push because the NHL playoffs have been more exciting than the NBA playoffs. And last night, Edmonton Oilers, Calgary Flames, the Battle of Alberta. Ask Brent Stecker about it. Anyway, there were 4 goals scored in the span of a minute. And when it was all over, Edmonton was going back to the conference finals for the first time in 16 years.
Who are they going up against?
We'll hear it. Hold on.
Draisaitl to McDavid. Oh. McDavid shoots. Score! It's over! Lakers move on.
There you go. They move on.
This
no,
is,
they're
this
playing
is how the, sweeping the dial works, Bob. They play the audio.
Yeah, and what did the audio tell you, Dave? Nothing.
They're moving on. It was the final call.
So yeah, they're moving on. We
playing the winner,
against
the Blues Avalanche.
I missed the whole
game. Six is tonight.
I missed that part in the play-by-play. Could we
they
hear it
know,
again?
They didn't know who was moving on.
See?
Because Dave Wyman's Avalanche are playing tonight.
Thumb
why?
On.
Why are they mine?
Denver. The Denver Commanders.
Oh, because I was in Denver. Yeah. That's how LeFco roots for teams. If you stopped off in a city somewhere,
you had a layover there. They're a favorite. Team of some sort. Yeah, the play-by-play didn't quite unveil the way he thought it would.
No, it was short.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, it was short and missing the information. More
there was no information.
Yeah, there was none.
It was an overtime win. They were just fired up.
All right. And your beloved Tampa Bay Lightning.
They're sitting there waiting, yeah, so they don't know who they're playing either because it's Hurricanes Rangers. They're about to go to Game 6. That's tomorrow night.
So they face the winner of Hurricanes Rangers,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Edmonton faces the winner of
St. Louis and Colorado.
Gotcha.
But, okay. Have you guys watched a little bit of the hockey playoffs? I mean, they're pretty exciting.
I got to say that, yeah, I did actually watch. I've kind of tuned in and out throughout all of this. But the one thing in hearing that call there, I think the announcers, the play-by-play guys in the NHL are phenomenal. I think the energy.
We got John Forslund here.
Yeah, I mean, they're just
fantastic.
He's called a couple of national games, actually.
But like that guy sounded great. I don't know who that was, but they just the energy they've got and their ability to do what they do at that pace, I think, is really impressive.
Incredible. Yeah, we got one of the best here in town. There's line shifts or what, every 90 seconds?
45 seconds.
Yeah,
is it
45?
Yeah. Holy smokes.
About 40 seconds.
All different guys coming in and out. And yeah, the puck moves fast. You got to have good eyes.
Yeah, it's impressive stuff. So, all right, well, we'll root for Thumbs Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah.
How about that?
Why not?
We'll jump on that train. You need some company on that
bandwagon? How long were you there again?
I lived there for 4 years. Right as they were getting good. Where have I lived the longest? Well, I grew up in Indiana, so Indiana.
Okay,
the longest.
And then you lived in San Antonio, right?
North Carolina, Tampa, San Antonio, Seattle.
How long in San Antonio?
2 years. Nah, not a fan of those.
Carolina, how long?
2.5 years.
Yeah. All right.
Nomadic by nature. There you go.
All right. Coming up, we're going to get you ready for the opener of the series against the Astros. Jesse Winker is scheduled to stop by, and we still have Mean Text coming up as well. You've got time to get creative with those. 421-3776 is the text line, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. All of that coming your way as we continue live from Edgar's Cantina. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station. Power through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We continue live from Edgar's Cantina at T-Mobile Park. Mariners getting set to take on the Houston Astros, game one of a three-game series. And Dave, I was noticing we have people's attention more than we've ever had before. And I'm thinking, man, we are on our game. They are really interested in what you and I have to say. And then I realized, no, it's the guy sitting to my right here. Jesse Winker is on set with us. How are you, man?
These are my people. This is my left field set.
They got signs for you.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
They knew you were going to be here.
They're always over there. So, yeah, I wave to them every game. Yeah.
These people are nicer than the people in New York.
What do we got? Winker is coming back. And Winker's watch. Okay.
Yeah. All right. That's a Wren for my daughter, too, if you didn't notice that. The WW. It's a.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's,
all right. Very
so that's
nice.
A cool one.
Now, look at
that.
Daughter's birthday today, we understand?
Today, fact. Yeah, she's two.
Old?
She's two.
Two?
Two yeah. years old.
Wow, congrats on that.
Thank you.
You have just one?
Just one.
Okay.
Just one, and I blinked, and she's two. And I was watching her this morning, and I was like, oh, my God. happened so fast, and I'm just thankful for, you know, all the days I get to spend with her. And, you know, it's just crazy with everything that's kind of going on right now. It just kind of gives you an extra appreciation for it. So,
do you save all the videos of your games and cards and things to pass along to her when she's old enough to understand what dad does for a living?
Yeah, I do, but at the same time I don't, because I'm hopefully still going to be playing when she starts to get older. But when I'm done playing and I go into full-time dad mode, I want to be kind of locked in on that and whatever the next chapter is in my life, that she'll be able to focus in on that with me, and I'll be able to focus on her and accomplish whatever we want together.
My kids didn't give a crap that I played in the NFL. They really didn't.
They were really
unimpressed
with dad.
Yeah, it was like, you're just corny old dad.
That's funny. And she was carrying my bat around the house I'm staying at here. Sorry. She was banging the walls today with my bat, and I was like, all right, it's time to get up. So, let's go.
That's your alarm clock right there.
It's time to get up.
Well, hey, before we get started, give me a thought on these pink hats. Are you in or are you out on those? I can't take them.
I'm in on them.
You like those?
Yeah, they remind me of my dad. So my dad used to play softball, and he used to wear like a pink Hawaiian hat. It was his welding hat.
Okay.
And it reminds me. When I first saw him, I just immediately thought of my dad, so I'm in on him.
Okay. All right. Well, you're going to see a lot of them tonight out there. Now, you're not in the lineup tonight, dealing with a little bit of sore shoulder, but no big deal. You'll be back in a couple of nights?
Yeah, I should be back here shortly. But, yeah, no big deal.
Just a little much-needed rest. It's a long season, so.
Sure.
What is the mood like in that clubhouse right now? The season not going the way any of us anticipated at this point, but we're talking about 162 games, so there is so much in front of you. But is it hard not to get caught up in frustration when, as a team, things just aren't happening the way you thought they would?
I mean, for sure. I think all the cliches of 162 game season, it's kind of like, you know, I think there is some urgency. I think there's some urgency to start, you know, for me personally, to start playing better. You know, as an athlete, you want to come in and do your job and you want to perform well. And that's what you're here to do, and I think that's what anybody who puts on this uniform could agree to that. And so I'm definitely sensing some urgency. It's kind of we're kind of ready to rewrite this narrative, and we're just going to keep chipping away at it. It's so easy to say it's 162 games, but these games go by fast, and these months they fly by. So I definitely believe that we've got some urgency, and it's a good one too. It's not no one's panicking. And everybody's just kind of ready to go out and play, you know, our brand of baseball. That's all you can really do.
We were talking to Manny Acta earlier, and I thought he said something that was great. It was that when you're in the minors, you play from the shoulders down, and then the majors from the shoulders up. And just the mental side of it. We talked to you a couple weeks ago about, you know, the unluckiness, and you didn't want to have anything to do with that. You were talking about, hey, look, I've got to stick to what I'm doing, and that's got to be, like, is by far the hardest part of it, you know, getting through those kinds of times and believing in your process and all of that stuff. Tell us about that process.
Yeah, I think there's things I need to be better at. I think as a hitter, you know, going away from a game and being like, oh, I was unlucky. Like, that's not how this game operates. Yeah. You know, it's people want to get hits, people want to be on base, and people want to see you perform. So no one's going to go home and be like, oh, yeah, Winker was 0 for 4 today, but damn, he was unlucky. No, they're going to go home and they're going to be like, he was 0 for 4, he's trash. Like, right. What are we doing? So it's, you know, you want to perform, you want to play well, but year to year, it's so funny. Like, you need to get better, and you need to make adjustments, and that's what I'm doing right now. I'm figuring some things out about myself when it comes to hitting, and I'm going to implement them, so I'm excited about that.
How do you adjust when things aren't going right? Dave talked about playing in the NFL, and he could run fast. He could hit harder. It seems like that works against you in baseball. If you try harder, you're up there gripping the bat tighter. I'm really going to swing harder. That's kind of the opposite of what you want to do. So when you are in that slump, when things aren't going your way, how do you – you're saying, I got to do better. Well, how do you do that? How do you go about that?
I think you just pay attention more. I think you kind of go the opposite way because, like you said, this isn't football. I tend to go the other way. I just start paying attention. Okay, what are guys doing to me? How are they playing me? Where am I hitting the ball? How am I hitting the ball? How am I loading? What do I look like? And then you go from there. And then you can make adjustments. But you need to kind of play. And I've just been playing every day. And day to day, you're just learning. The baseball season is nonstop learning. And it's nonstop adjustments. And it's nonstop kind of tinkering with stuff just to kind of find it. And then when you feel it or you're feeling good about it, you just kind of roll out there and just keep going. But I've never had a baseball season where it was easy. You know, there's no one baseball season I'm like, oh, that was easy. No, it's always going to be challenging. It's challenging for everybody.
How much film work do you guys do? I mean, most of your prep, like if you're prepping for a pitcher or anybody, how much time do you spend in the meeting rooms?
I just got out of my hitters meeting, of our hitters meeting, and I think it was like 10 to 15 minutes. I think we do something here. It's a meeting every day. You know, you go over the pitchers, maybe some bullpen guys. There's tons of information available, like right at your fingertips, and it's kind of just figuring out what works for you and maybe what new thing could kind of take. This game is so much about going to the next level. That's like what, personally, I'm always in search for is, okay, how do I go to the next level? Like, how do I – and you're always – on the hunt for that. So it could be information. It could be an adjustment mechanically. It could be an adjustment approach-wise. It could be anything. And you're just kind of on the hunt for it all year long.
How much do you tinker with your swing in a season? Because we had Bill Krueger on, and he was talking about you specifically, talking about how you kind of have your hands in the middle of your chest, and then you get back into position, and he felt like you were carrying your hands in a different position. Have you adjusted your swing at all, or is that something you do within a season?
Not my swing. Setup's one thing, but for me, the setup is just you're trying to get to a position. So I've messed with stuff in seasons before, and, you know, I mean, you want to feel strong. You want to feel in a position, for me personally, I want to feel in a position that I'm as strong as I can be, and I can repeat it day in and day out. And, but at the same time, trying something new might make you better. Mm-hmm. Like, you never just want to, like I said, you're always trying to get better, and you're always trying to go to the next level. So you're going to make adjustments. These guys adjust every day. Like, they're not going to let you beat them the same way one day and come back out. They're not going to do the same thing.
Right.
That's just not how it goes. That's not sport. It's not baseball. So you flow with them.
Hey, how's the we talked to you a little bit about your relationship with the fans in New York, and that we'll get to that in a second, which was really funny. Love that. But as far as here, you know, and the opening night was really big, and I think you said something about electric. It's like an electric factory or something. But how's it been here, your time in Seattle, and how have fans embraced you?
Yeah, no, it's been great. A lot bigger city than where I came from over in Cincinnati. It just feels like there's a lot more people here, a lot more fans.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could see a Mariners hat anywhere at any moment. It's pretty neat. But they've embraced me big time, and you know, I just feel like it's my job now to come here and do what I need to do to let them go home happy, because at the end of the day, you know, these are the times that we need them most. You know, when we're on a 10-game win streak and we're riding that wave, you know, you might not, obviously you're going to want them there then too, but, you know, you're kind of in that groove. You know, now is when fans can kind of take you over the top or get you back into it. So I'm hopeful that everybody keeps continuing to come out here and cheer us on, because we need them.
Is it hard to be the new guy and not press to come out here and say, yeah, I want to prove that I was worthy of this trade. I'm the new guy. I want to establish that, hey, man, I'm somebody you can root for, and I can produce for this team. That I would imagine there's a prove it element of your game coming to a new city.
Yeah, I think so. You know, but that's part of it, right? And I've never had this experience before of being traded, and it's something that you kind of learn on the fly, right? So you get traded, 3 weeks go by, okay, now the season starts. So it's like, of course, but I don't want to say that that's an excuse. That's just real life. That's just the hand that was dealt in this situation. But I'm happy. You know, I'm happy to be a Mariner, and I love this city, and I love these fans. And now it's just, you know, it's my job to come out here and play better. And that's it's just as simple and as raw as I can give it to you.
How's the clubhouse as far as your relationships? We talked to Jerry DePoto, and he was saying this is like one of the teams with the best chemistry that he's ever seen. Who are some of the guys you hang out with? Who are some of the guys that you – did you know anybody before you came here?
Yeah, I knew JP, Ty France, obviously Gino,
yeah.
Dylan Moore a little bit. There's guys that I knew here. They're great. It's been a great clubhouse. They've welcomed me. They've made me feel like home here. Everybody has since the day I was traded, and it's a great clubhouse. It's a great feel.
We've talked to a couple guys and asked them who's the funniest guy in that clubhouse, and they've said you.
No shot.
That's what I'm telling you. That's what they've said.
That, that means that he is the funniest. If he doesn't think he's the funniest,
who's the funniest in your opinion?
Gino. I've said it about Gino every year. He cracks me up. He cracks me up. I think the funniest part about Gino, and I don't know if anybody's noticed this, but it could just be coincidental, but his second at-bat tonight, notice his walkout. It's like a slower song. Well, he puts on the Jumbotron, he'll put the bat in his hands and start throwing it back and forth, and it's to the beat of the song. I don't know if that's it cracks me up every time I see it, but I've noticed it. I just thought it was a good little touch. It could be accidental. I hope tonight I'm right, and it's the second one.
Everybody's going to be looking for it now.
Yeah, it's a slower song, and he nails it. But, no, he's to me, he's the funniest.
But that speaks to how quickly you've sort of ingratiated yourself to the teammates. Like, there's, oh, Winker, this guy's the funniest guy in there, and that you're not the new kid in class anymore.
Yeah, I have a really hard time acting like anybody else. And when it comes to my personal life, like, I can only be one. I can only be myself. So, yes. You know, when you get traded, it is new. But for me to get adjusted as quickly as possible, I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna be me. You know, hopefully they like it. If not, then hopefully they figure out how to like it.
They learn how to deal with you.
No, it's something that you have to have feel. You have to have court awareness, and you have to, just as much as everybody's learning you, you're learning them.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a huge part of it. And I don't think a couple years ago I would have been able to handle it. But, you know, you have a child and you kind of grow old, a little bit older in baseball. I was a little more prepared for it.
That's got to help you a little bit, right? When you come home, like your young daughter doesn't care what kind of night you had at the plate. And same thing with your wife.
No, I'm telling you, she can't say a lot of words, but she told me the other day, you got to get going, Dada. Like, get this going. I'm like, I know. I hear you.
Tough crowd,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, no, she's rock solid. She don't care. Like you said, she don't care.
You got a lot of attention for the New York thing and the interaction with the fans out there. Are they on board with it, or are you still hearing some vile things that come from fans? We hear a lot about that in Philadelphia and New York and cities like that. Or do they get it now? Like, hey, we're having fun with this guy. Or are they still talking about your family members?
That's part of it, though. So that's why I respect them. They don't switch up. It's New York now.
Okay,
you know, we're talking about New York. So they're not gonna switch up on how they come after you. But I think now it's kind of developed into so it all started in 2019. And look, you can't do it with any other. For me, it ain't anybody else. It's just them.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is, but every time I run out to left field in Flushing, New York, and they get going, I love it. It just makes me smile. And they're funny, and they're passionate. And
still saying mean things, though.
For sure, but it's mean. It's respectfully mean, if that makes any sense. And I'm not going to get offended by it. I said it then, like, I grew up with two older brothers and cousins and this and that. There's nothing that – they know the truth when they would, you know, kind of talk me.
They would know
how to get under my skin. Like, you know, chanting my mom's name, all right, like, that's not going to make me mad. But, you know, when your brothers come after you and they know some deep, dark secrets about you, that's what will get in your head. But, no, I love the Mets fans. It's fun to go in there and compete. They're a passionate bunch, and it was cool to hit that homer there too. It was funny.
I like the wave.
You
waved to everybody.
Yeah, it was. You know, they were booing me, and I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, fantastic. Just agitate them a little bit.
Yeah,
we have something coming up here called mean texts. People texting mean stuff about us.
Yeah,
kind of takes the sting out of it a little bit, and it actually gets kind of funny.
Yeah, you know, it's you know, they're paying to come watch us play too, and you know, I think the funny part is, you know, I think even if they saw me just like out at a coffee shop, they'd say the exact same thing. So that's why I respect them even more. You know, I don't think they'd shy away. I think they'd be like, "Yeah, you're a bum." I'd be like, "I love you for that."
I love you for that.
You know, it's something that comes with the territory, and it's funny. I've gotten a couple friendships out of it. Like, I've gotten to know some guys over there at Barstool. Barstool Sports, and you know, they were texting me after the series and during it. It was funny. You know, it's cool what it's kind of developed into, and I definitely think between me and the Mets fans, it's like a friendly friendship. But when I'm playing, they're gonna let me know.
Yeah,
and I love it. I'm a big fan of it.
It's great, Jesse. We're really, really glad to have you out here talking to us. We love it. You got obviously a lot of fans out here in Seattle that love you.
Yes,
we're pulling for you. Hopefully, everything gets turned around with you and the team. And we're talking about some big wins coming up. Thanks
awesome.
So much,
Thank
man.
Thank you, guys. Yeah,
appreciate you,
Jesse.
There you go, Jesse Winker of your Seattle Mariners. Everybody, spending a few minutes with us here with Wyman and Bob. All right, it is time for mean texts.
I was kind of hoping we could keep him on for that. I think he would have enjoyed
that
segment.
Want the listeners to take shots at him?
No. I think he would have enjoyed the segment. And the
he'd have been like, oh, that's nothing compared to what I'm hearing.
Compared to what he hears in the stands of New York?
I feel bad transitioning to mean text after a great interview like that. But I know. This is how we close out the show. So we'll do it. And we hadn't had a full show in a while. So on Monday, you guys kind of got a lot of texts about, how are you going to handle working more than just an hour? So... we had a few along the lines of, do you remember you talked about pulling a hammy?
Yeah.
We talked about Rashad Penny. So The 724 said, come on, Dave. You pull hammies reaching into the fridge all the time.
That's so, probably how that would happen.
you get attacked by the dishwasher unloading the dishwasher. So
yeah, I sort of attacked it
with your knee.
Yeah, I gotta start paying more attention.
So you have some queued up, don't you, Bob?
I got a couple from our buddy Adam Ray here.
Adam Ray. Okay, here we go.
All right, here let's just start with you.
Of course,
Lefko is so Tampa. He buys his bread at the gas station.
They have good gas stations down there. They have Wawa's and Sheets down there. They have good food.
Yeah, he takes a shot at Salk here. You want to hear that one? Salk has the face of a guy who takes the last piece of pizza, then says, "You snooze, you lose," and laughs like he's got puppies in his basement.
Oh no!
Wow. The puppies in the basement kind of lost me with that one. That's kind of creepy.
Well, I think that was the point. He's creepy.
We got a lot during the old man radio segment when you guys had Bill Kruger on. That's what some people were calling it.
Okay.
The 360 said, if Dave and Bill are both there, who's keeping all the kids off all the lawns?
That's well done.
That is good. That's solid work. Here's another one about you, Lefko.
Oh, okay.
Lefko. Here, read that one, Dave.
You want me to read it because you guys won't be able to?
Yeah.
Lefko has the face of a kid who announces he has to go to the bathroom by standing up mid-dinner and saying, Lefko has to make a poopy.
Even Lefko's laughing at that one.
If Dave were an exotic dancer, his resume would include great with toe stuff.
I thought you were going to keep reading them all and spoil them.
Yeah, those two.
That's good. That was a good one.
I can pinch with my toes, by the way.
So you are great with toe stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't do that.
The 509 said, your show should be moved the 5 to 8 slot so then Stelton get caught in rush hour traffic every morning.
That's not funny.
I know. That's just really mean, actually.
No, I'm kidding. There's no humor to that.
Do you want Bob to kill somebody?
Yeah. You're looking for a rage incident. Yeah. Nobody wins with that. Adam says, Bob reminds me of a Wetzel's Pretzel employee that brags to teenagers about all of the free hot cheese that he gets.
All right, we got some more here. We are listening to Roger Goodell, and you guys have noted that he says a lot without really saying anything. So the 602 said, Roger Goodell talking sounds like Wyman trying to lead the show.
Ah.
It's not funny.
We got a laugh. There we go. We got
Karen,
a laugh in the crowd. Good.
You were supposed to be on my side.
Karen loves that one.
Karen just like cackled through. Yeah.
Maybe she sent it in. Karen sent that one in.
Did you text that one in?
Yeah. Oh, so you've heard me try to lead the show before. Okay. Yeah, gotcha.
Any more of there? You want to keep rolling
through? No, I think
here?
We went through all of his.
Oh, that's it. Wow.
Yeah. Right.
See, I knew he wasn't very funny.
See,
I have to give him back, right?
Because
I know he's not listening right now. He said he's taping.
Well,
or he's in the middle of a set.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay,
we'll see. I think the day is coming when he comes to town. You'll be front and center watching him, and just be a target.
I don't even remember what started off this conversation. We were talking about the tickets. We got on the phone rant again, and you were trying to get your tickets, and that sparked a whole conversation again about paper tickets.
About the Apple wallet.
Yeah, the Apple wallet and all that. So the 425 says, Dave's the guy who doesn't want to leave his phone turned on because he's afraid it's going to use up his minutes.
That's pretty good. I know people that think that like they won't talk or have a private conversation unless they put their phone in another room.
Because they think they're being monitored?
They think they're being listened to.
They think it's like Alexa.
Yeah.
It's picking up all of their exactly. super interesting information that nobody cares about.
Didn't you and Graz turn everyone's Alexas on one day?
Yeah.
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 Did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
That was a good one. That's not a mean text at all, but that's just pretty funny.
Yeah. What else you got?
Well,
anything
we'll
else?
Keep rolling here. We got a few more here. 509. If all the world's an oyster, Wyman is the grain of sand that irritates the heck out of everybody.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I feel like you would embrace that role. That's good.
No problem irritating people.
206, Lefko, you're ugly, and your mother dresses you funny.
Oh, that's old school.
I know.
That's just dumb. Yeah, that's no good.
We didn't get as many about me as I think you guys would have hoped. So,
I used to like to irritate my brother. I put my finger like right by his eyeball and say, "I'm not touching you." Mom, he's touching. No, I'm not. I'm not touching him.
Technically, I'm not. I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you do that kind of stuff with your brother?
No. I would whip him with my finger.
Oh, the finger whip?
Yeah. You know, like you pack your chew can with that finger?
Yeah.
I would whip him.
Oh, nice. My brother used to take his toothbrush and spray it at me after he was done. Yeah, you know how you move your finger over it, and then his toothpaste water would go in my face.
Then that caused a fight.
That caused a fight one time that broke a door.
Your parents must have loved you, too.
Then my mom came and got in between us, and everything stopped.
Anything else there left?
We got one quickly to wrap it up here. JD in the 509. Dave looks like the guy who sits way too close to you in the steam room at the gym, then tries to strike up a conversation.
He's saying you're creepy.
He tries,
the steam room?
The steam room. Come on, you've been in the sauna, right?
He's saying you're creepy.
Sidled over, gotten over there way too quick, and you annoy everyone there.
We got that all just from looking at us on the stream.
There you go. All right, that does it for us. Want to thank our guests today, Manny Acta, Jesse Winker, Bill Krueger, and all of the people here in attendance and all of you sending in mean texts. We appreciate that. If you missed any of today's show, head to seattlesports.com, click the podcast tab, scroll down to our picture and click on that. You'll find anything you missed waiting there for you after the show each and every day. Click subscribe. You'll find it right there, and you'll never have to do it again. Mariners, Astros coming up. We'll talk to you on Monday with Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports Station on 710.